Von 0 auf 100. Aral feiert 100 Jahre mit über 100.000 Gewinnen. Zum Beispiel ein Jahr frei tanken. Jetzt ein Dankeschön, Rubbellos zu jedem Einkauf. Alle Infos auf aral.de. Aral, alles super.
Händelt die Chance, weil er mit dem Rücken zum Tor geht.
Ah, Ballinger! Ja!
Moin, es ist der, ja, was für ein Datum ist eigentlich? Ist ja auch egal, es ist ein Tag, zwei Tage, bevor wir den DFB-Pokalweg weiter bestreiten gegen Frankfurt und ein Tag nur, nachdem wir uns mal wieder eine Niederlage abgeholt haben in Heidenheim. Und das ist knapp nach 19.10 Uhr, also schon wieder ein bisschen länger nach 19.10 Uhr. Das liegt natürlich wieder daran, dass wir einen Special Guest haben, nämlich aus Kanada, nämlich Sarah, die wir auch schon vor dem Spielgespräch hatten. Und dieses Mal habe ich noch einen weiteren Gast dabei, das ist Sebastian, aber ich stelle die gleich nochmal ein bisschen genauer vor. Zuerst möchte ich euch sagen, ihr hört jetzt, damit ihr euch auch ja nicht verklickt habt, ihr hört das nach dem Spielgespräch vom Spiel 1. FC Heidenheim gegen den FC St. Pauli. St. Pauli hat das Ding mal wieder vergeigt. Sie haben verloren, gar nicht so schlecht gespielt, kommen wir später drauf. Sie haben 1-0 verloren durch ein Tor von Norman Teuerkauf in der 59. Minute und als wäre das nicht schlimm genug, hat sich auch noch Christopher Buchtmann das Innenband angerissen und wird nun sicherlich bis zum Ende des Jahres mindestens ausfallen. Darüber will ich sprechen, zum einen einmal mit jemandem, der vor Ort war, das ist nämlich mein Millanton-Monatssendungskollege Sebastian. Moin Sebastian.
Moin Tim.
Und jetzt gehe ich wieder aufs Englische rüber, weil wir mal wieder einen Gast aus Toronto haben. I will also speak to Sarah, for she will give us, how to say, the Heidenheim perspective of the match. Hi Sarah.
Hi Tim, great to be here.
So let's start. At first I want to give you a short, I want to give the listeners of this podcast a short insight into the trip to Heidenheim from Hamburg. So Sebastian, how was your trip? When it started, when it ended?
Well, the fun thing about matches like Heidenheim is always the trip. So we just started at 4 in the morning. I had the luck that a friend of mine was picking me up at home, so I didn't need to drive to the station or something like that. So this was quite good. We had the time change, so I had even one more hour of sleep than usual, but still 4 in the morning is way too soon for my inner clock. We drove there by car, arrived at Heidenheim at around 11 o'clock. I don't know. Most people who were at Heidenheim somewhere know the Netto parking spot.
Yes, I know it. Yeah.
So we met some other guys there and then went onto the stadium and tried to take our, well, not seats, stands more to say. And I believe it was my third time in Heidenheim. I still don't like the ground because it's so flat-ish, and I prefer more heightened stadiums, and especially more heightened guest areas, because then you can, if you stand in the back of the guest area, you can probably see more, but it's okay.
So it's okay. And when your trip ended?
I was back home at, I don't know, 11:30, so probably.
That's still okay. So last time last season I've been to Heidenheim, but with Fanladen tours, and we started at, I think, 2:30 in the morning, and the trip ended at 2:30 the other morning. So it was a full day trip for me, quite long. Sarah, how have you seen the match?
From home, I thought the match was in terms of what we've seen from FC Heidenheim this season, this was actually one of their more exciting games. I thought it was a very physical game. Both teams kept up the energy for the full full 90 minutes, and it was a great opportunity to see the new players in action. I think that if FC Heidenheim can keep up this sort of proactive and aggressive style of play, it will be really promising for the rest of the season.
Yeah, sounds good. So what is the time shift again between Toronto and Hamburg? 6 hours, right? So it was 7 in the morning?
So I think you guys switched your time. We don't switch our time for another week or two. So I got to sleep in until 8.
Hey, that's quite nice.
Very nice, like a vacation.
Okay, and let's come back. Before we go deep into the match report, I would like to tell you, Sebastian, so you did a great job out there, because the full first half, there were just St. Pauli support. I listened just to St. Pauli support in the stadium. It was really, really impressive.
Yeah, that was my perspective in stadium as well, but because if you're standing in the crowd, I don't often hear the other side, because it's so loud when you're inside, so it's hard to tell if you're, let's say, dominating the noise on an objective level or just because you're standing inside. I think the support was quite well. Could have been better, but probably that's something I would say most of the times. Yeah, and was sort of fun until the goal.
Yeah, so of course I would also say the support could have been better, but then sometimes it depends also what happens on the pitch, and we will look into what happens on the pitch. So from my point of view, so I was watching the game on the TV. From my point of view, St. Pauli had a really good start into the match. Sebastian, you share this opinion with me?
I was quite pleased with the first half in total. However, some Heidenheim plays, especially on the left side, which was close to the guest stands, were sort of dangerous, especially because maybe I personally have sort of a fear of Marc Schnatterer, who, as I believe, always scores when he plays against St. Pauli. He didn't yesterday, but so there were some offensive moves from Heidenheim that felt sort of dangerous. However, they mostly didn't end up in the box, so that was okay. And I don't know the numbers for the first half, but it felt like we had more possession, we had better pass play. So, yes, I was pleased. I liked what I saw. I believe even though Lukai changed, I don't know, 8 players compared to the last game, it looked like the squad on the pitch knew what to do mostly and had an idea and tried to do this as good as possible. Seemed to work though.
Yes, same with me. So I've also seen a quite good beginning, a quite good start of St. Pauli. So St. Pauli started with the 3-5-2 formation, or it was then a 3-4-1-2 formation, so with Gyökeres and Tashi in the front, and just, who was it, Kala, Bubala and Östiger in the back. And it was quite a good start. Heidenheim played in a 4-4-2 formation with, Niklas Dorsch. I still like him, or I don't like him. He's an asshole. But just as long as he's not playing for my team. Sarah, how have you seen him?
Yeah, he was definitely a standout and very aggressive on the field. And between him and Husing and, strangely enough, Otto, I really felt they were able to keep St. Pauli in check when they were attacking on the FC Heidenheim net, for sure.
Yeah, so as we said, St. Pauli started quite well, had a few chances at the beginning, nothing that was like 100%. This changed then in the towards the end of the first half with chances by Mats Møller-Dahle and Leo Østigård.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, in the end there was a, it was still a 0-0 in the half. What impressed me, and maybe you share this with me, Sebastian, I was quite impressed by the high pressing St. Pauli played.
Yes, that was something I believe we've seen this in phases during former matches this season as well, but it was it seemed to work. Nevertheless, I somehow feared that they would open up some spaces behind the pressing lines, because then the faster Heidenheim player could move on to the goal. But I believe it was, especially in the center, it was quite narrow. And I liked how Diarra played his part, even though he was somehow close to the second yellow card, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And even though Mats Møller-Dahle was placed more in a defensive position, especially for the first half, than during the last matches, he seemed to have a good grip on especially the defensive part of the match. So yes, there was a sort of something we've seen before, but not in this quality, maybe.
Yes. So Sarah, you said in our podcast before the match, you sounded not really optimistic about the season for Heidenheim, and now you've seen the first half. So Sebastian and me, we share the opinion that St. Pauli started quite good, but you already wrote to me a message during the first half, towards the end of the first half, that you are quite satisfied with Heidenheim. So how was your season so far if you were quite satisfied with Heidenheim? So now I understand why you not have been so optimistic in the pre-match report.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think that what we've seen from Heidenheim is a lot of scrambling on Frank Schmidt's part to sort of get that perfect lineup and to get a team that really gels and is cohesive. And of course, all teams deal with this at the beginning of the season, but I think FC Heidenheim had a very difficult time getting it together on the field. But I was very pleased with the game. I thought, you know, both teams, both FC Heidenheim and St. Pauli, came out of the gate. Both were attacking. Both were pressing very hard and taking shots on net. And what I like to see is I like to see the spirit on the field. And I really feel like this is the first game that I've seen FC Heidenheim really put their effort into it and show what they can do out there. So I'm willing to give FC Heidenheim a second chance, you could say.
Yeah. So I'm with you directly with the beginning of the second half. So there were some small adjustments by Heidenheim.
Mm-hmm.
What I have seen was, because St. Pauli was quite had a quite dense position in the center of the field, they were more attacking on the outsides, and it was mostly Norman Teuerkauf who played, who did a lot of, how to say, sprints into deep into St. Pauli's half, and yes, that changed a lot. Have you, what happened there? Was Heidenheim even more aggressive, or what happened with the beginning of second half, Sarah?
Well, I think at the very beginning, FC Heidenheim was having a bit of trouble getting it together. They had a bit of a weak start. They were a bit disorganized, especially on offense. So, you know, in the 48th minute, we had a corner kick. Nothing happened on it. 49th minute, we had a good chance to get in front of the net and maybe shoot a score, but there was no one to collect the pass. And so that was really kind of the story for at least the first little bit of the second half. But, you know, they got it together and they were able to capitalize on that Schnatti corner that came in the 58th and 59th minute with Teuerkauf connecting for the goal there.
Yes. So before we come to the goal, Sebastian, we need to talk about Viktor Gyökeres, about his chance in the, I think it was the 52nd minute.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen it? Have you?
You mean the counterattack where he gets the ball by, I don't know, is it?
So he was like running from the right side into.
Yes, into the box and shot right behind. On the right side, beneath the goal, yes?
Yes,
this is the chance. Looked sort of good, but I didn't understand why he didn't see Miyaichi, I believe, who was in the center of the box all alone.
Thank you, Sebastian. Thank you. That's what I also wanted to state out here. So, but he's a striker. I think he wants to score, and I think it's totally fine. But in this case, maybe a pass to Miyaichi would have been the better option. Yes. So then we need to talk about the goal by Norman Teuerkauf. And was it? Do you have already scored goals by corners this season, Sarah?
I couldn't give you the statistics on it, but we do tend to do quite well with set pieces. They do tend to materialize for us, and it was great to see that come together in this case.
So, for your information, Sampoli is not good in defending corner kicks. So this was, I think, Sebastian, the fourth or the fifth goal after a corner against Sampoli, right?
Ooh. I believe the fifth one, Marsha FC. Just had the statistics on corner kicks and their blog posting today.
I've read it, yes.
But I guess it's not that... it's the fifth one. But I guess it's not that important if it's the fourth or the fifth. It's way too much.
Absolutely. So I would say this one is on... In this case, this one is on Matt Penny, who, it was just simply too slow... in the legs and in the head to follow Teuerkauf. And yes, of course, Max Schnatterer gave the assist, as he is always doing against Sampoli. So I don't want to talk too much about this goal because I was so annoyed that it's again a corner kick. And yes, of course, it's hard to defend corner kicks. And yes, of course, you can't defend every corner kick. And yes, you will get goals by corners or by set pieces. But yes, this season, after we have lost at home against Darmstadt, also after a corner, I was really annoyed this time. How was it in the stadium, Sebastian?
Yeah, same. Well, if you watch the first half and are sort of confident that it's a good match and maybe second half will bring some goals, maybe for us. And then you see this corner kick on the other end of the stadium. So I couldn't identify who's in charge, but I just saw the ball from the corner dropping in the center of the pitch, and boom, the goal was in, and it looked like it should have been easy to defend in this situation because it wasn't rocket science or something, but just a quick shot on target. And I guess we all were totally annoyed by this, especially because the match was good so far. We were in Heidenheim so often and always lost. Everyone was talking about this in the car to the ground. For like 6 hours, we will lose there. We will lose. We lose there anyway. And I tried to be sort of optimistic, and the match was good. And then, bam! Everything you wanted is just shattered in pieces for that day. And I didn't have the feeling that we would come back in the game because it was sort of really tough to produce good scoring chances. And I guess based on what we've seen so far, there were, I guess, two good chances, which is sort of too few to realistically score a goal. Big dislike.
Yeah, of course. So I also see that we have played, how to say, 60 minutes, a really good match in Heidenheim, which is 60 minutes more than we've ever played in Heidenheim. But yes, after the goal, Sarah, I had the feeling that there's a lot of confidence then on the Heidenheim side, right?
Well, from my perspective, I'd almost have to disagree. I think St. Pauli stayed dangerous the full game. They kept coming up with chances on net. They certainly put Kevin Muller to the test. You know, they may not have gotten in the net, but they certainly got close. I thought they were quite dangerous, and I thought after the goal, no matter how FC Heidenheim tried to get the lead up to two, St. Pauli did a really good job making sure that they weren't able to put another point on the board.
Yeah, that's right. So I have noted here, I will have a short look into my notes, just one more chance. It was a, how to say, a double one by Finn Ole Becker and Boris Tashi in the 67th minute.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really big one.
Yeah.
Later on, it seemed to me, and maybe you share this with me, Sebastian, it seemed to me that St. Pauli was like running out of power.
I don't know. I had the feeling after, especially after the two changes with Conte and Miyaichi, so it could have not been Miyaichi who was standing in the center of the box when Jekyll is missed. But anyhow, after these two changes in St. Pauli's squad, I had the feeling they tried to be more offensive, tried more to go, especially on the sidelines with the quick players. However, often good ideas led to a pass with, say, 2 or 3 foot too long or too short passes, and so often they missed the ball. And especially Conte feels to me like he's not as good in the game as he was at the start of the season, because he often tries things, but he so often loses the ball when he has it, or lost it in Heidenheim especially. So I wasn't even unpleased with how St. Pauli played the last 20 minutes. I just was annoyed that we didn't score and there were no bigger chances. Having said that, I still don't totally understand some decisions Luhukay made in the first place. So Diamantakos made good games until he was hurt or injured. Now he's on the bench, even though he can't play against Frankfurt on the day after tomorrow. So because he's had the red card in the Lübeck game. So some things are sort of strange to me, especially because I still feel Tashi isn't as good as Jekeris or Diamantakos.
Yes, it would be, how to say, I think it will be still one of the big mysteries why Diamantakos haven't played. So I haven't seen him over the week in training. Maybe he was kind of a lazy one in training. Maybe Boris Tashi was quite good. Difficult to say. Sarah, how have you seen the last 20 minutes there? Was it like... when you had the feeling that you will win this game?
I thought we had it in the bag until we did that substitution where we took David Otto out and put Robert Lightfords in right at the 90th minute, which I thought was very bizarre to make a switch going into extra time. And honestly, at that point, I thought it was anybody's game, because St. Pauli really came on looking dangerous in front of the net, and then Nicholas Dorsch, you know, followed them so that they would get that free kick. And so for me, the game was completely up in the air until the whistle blew.
Yeah. So good that you mentioned the exchange of Otto. I was quite, surprised that Robert Leipertz wasn't in the starting 11. What happened there? You have any idea?
What I've seen this season is Frank Schmidt is really playing with, we have a lot of depth in terms of our strikers and our forwards right now. And I really think he's looking to find that magic combination that's going to light up the net. And, you know, today for that game, Leipertz was on the bench. I mean, we also haven't seen much of Denis Tamala, who was one of our highest scorers last season. So I think that's a little bit of what's going on, but why he would put him in right when the game's ending, that was bizarre. Maybe he was trying to put another point on the board or increase FC Heidenheim's goal differential, but to shake up the chemistry on the field that late in the game was really shocking to me.
Okay, then we close this discussion of the match. St. Pauli lost again in Heidenheim, and hopefully we will... maybe, probably we will meet again next season and have give it another try. Then I think it's the seventh try to get at least a point in from Heidenheim. So this time, how to say, at least this time we played quite well. Even though Jos Luukay, our manager, he was really, how to say, he was really annoyed by the team performance on the pitch. Or at least he said this in the press conference after the match. Let's see what will happen there. So, FC St. Pauli is heading towards an epic cup match against Eintracht Frankfurt on Wednesday. Heidenheim will face Werder Bremen Tuesday, so tomorrow, or when we will on the day we will publish this podcast. So, Sarah, what will you do you expect from this match?
I'm not sure. Werder Bremen's sort of mid-table right now in the Bundesliga, and they're not really doing so well. They only have 2 wins and 4 draws going for them. We'll see. You know, FC Heidenheim sometimes can really turn it on, and they turn on the power when they're faced with a big team. I don't know that we're going to see the upset that we saw against Bayer Leverkusen last year, but maybe we'll pull it out.
So at least what I remember was an epic fight against Bayern München last season in the cup. This was really great. It was it already quarter final, or was it?
Yeah, I believe it was the quarter final for sure.
Yeah. So this was really impressive. So especially by Robert Glatze, this one he scored a hat trick, right?
Yes, he did. It was quite an amazing performance from FC Heidenheim, but we do not have Robert Glatzel this year, so we have to cross our fingers instead.
Yeah. Then you will have another trip away to Aue?
Yes.
Quite difficult, I think.
Aue's having a great year. They're in fourth place, and depending on what Sandhausen does today, Heidenheim's in fifth. Yeah, it could be a big challenge for us. It will either, you know, boost us up to the top of the table, or it will sink us down a little bit. We'll see.
Yeah. Okay. And yes, FC St. Pauli will face Frankfurt on Wednesday. And on Saturday, another guest is coming to our house that is not interested at all in playing football. This guest is Karlsruhe SC, and I'm already pissed off their style of play, even though we haven't played against them so far. So, Sebastian, what do you expect from Wednesday, so from the cup?
Well, tough to tell. Probably Frankfurt is in a good position to win this, because most of their matches this season looked okay, at least to me. And I don't know how well the confidence of our players is after these two matches against Heidenheim and Darmstadt. So we'll see. Nonetheless, I believe that Jos Luukay is able to have a starting team and a match plan that should work at least well against what opponents soever. So I am hoping that if Frankfurt wins, it will be something like 2-0 or 2-1. But as I'm sort of optimistic, maybe we will even win this game. So just let's see. It's a cup fight. We're two leagues. We're one league apart. So I'm not too optimistic, but let's see what happens.
Okay. Sarah, thank you so much for talking to us or to me in the before the match report and now to us in the after the match report. So it was really a pleasure to talk to you, and it's always interesting to meet Heidenheim fans from abroad. You ever heard about another Heidenheim fan outside of Europe?
I have. I'm sort of in touch on social media with a Heidenheim fan in the U.S. So there's two of us in North America now.
At least two of us. So, Sebastian, thank you very much. Again, I'm still, impressed that you did this Heidenheim trip again. It was not your first time, right?
No, I guess it was my third time.
Yes. Wow. Okay. And yes, to all the listeners, thank you for listening. You can also leave some feedback on our webpage and also on every other social media channel, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. And yes, we will, or you will hear us again for the before the match podcast for the cup match against Frankfurt. It's Yannick who's talking to another Sebastian or Basti. And yes, hopefully after the match he will report from a epic win. So see you and have fun with this podcast. So this was a really fucked up ending, but I wanted just to say goodbye, Sarah. Goodbye, Sebastian.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.
Von 0 auf 100. Aral feiert 100 Jahre mit über 100.000 Gewinnen. Zum Beispiel ein Jahr frei tanken. Jetzt ein Dankeschön, Rubbellos zu jedem Einkauf. Alle Infos auf aral.de. Aral, alles super.
Ich habe mich natürlich schockverliebt, weil die war wirklich ganz, ganz klein.
So begann die Mensch-Hund-Beziehung zwischen Christina und Tierschutzhund Frieda. Und wie es danach, nach dem ersten Moment der Verliebtheit, so weiterging und welche Klippen es danach zu umschiffen galt, das hört ihr in der neuen Ausgabe von Iswas Dog, dem Podcast für harmonische Mensch-Hund-Beziehungen.
Iswas Dog mit Malte Asmus.
Überall, wo es Podcasts gibt.